You don't understand the reasons. So the Farshim Minsk Kasha, Rashi himself brings down later on the shame of Moshe Hadarshi, that the reason for the mitzvah Paraduma is Marshal Mahadavar Daima. There was a Shivcha that was working in the palace of the king, and she had her little child with her, and he made a mess. So they said, Tova Yaim with the kind of echal bina. Let the mother come and clean up after her son. So the Paraduma is cleaning up for the chait of the ego. It's a kapara for the chait of ego. So you see, clearly there is a reason. So how on the one hand can we say that it's a chait, and on the other hand, we say that the reason is because it's mechapar for the chait of ego. So this week I saw a pshat I never saw before from Panim Yafis, Pinchas Alevi Horowitz, the Baal HaFlor, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. He says that the Torah was given in its shleimus before the Chet HaEgel. So before the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu was first taught the mitzvahs on Har Sinai, it couldn't have been that Hashem gave the reason that it should be mechapa for the Chet HaEgel. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not say in advance that Klal Yisrael is going to be Chet. That would take away the Koyach HaBechira from Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may know that will be Chet. That's one of the famous questions. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu know everything, and at the same time we have the Koyach HaBechira? The teretz is, because one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it, the Koyach Re'iyah, but the Koyach HaBechira is not taken away from us, right? If a person could see something in the future, that doesn't mean necessarily it's two different things, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not say it befavors to Moshe Rabbeinu, because if he would say that this is a kapar for the Chet HaEgel, he's right away taking away our Koyach HaBechira.
What happened to Paro?
What?
What happened to Paro?
What Paro?
Hashem was
led Paro. That's a kasha that's asked over there, and Paro got himself into that mess. That's something else. That's a famous question that's asked over there. But Bederach Klal HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take away the Koyach HaBechira. The Melech, L'chetchila, when he gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was totally a chayk. It was without reason completely. That's when the Torah was given L'chetchila. Afterwards, after the Chet HaEgel, so then Moshe Rabbeinu was makir. Or could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu was even megalatim. You know, there was Luchas Rishonis and there was Luchas Shnias. There was the form of the Torah before Chet HaEgel, and there was the form of the Torah after the Chet HaEgel. So the Tov Yaim et Kaneach al Binah, that was said afterwards. But the emesis, after all was said and done, the real Oimek HaDvarim really blames the Chayk. Nor it took on a new dimension after the Chet HaEgel. It remained a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. So one is Kaidim HaEgel. Kaidim Chet HaEgel was total Chayk, without any reason, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it over to Moshe Rabbeinu. And after the Chet HaEgel, there was also the reason of Tavi Ya'em with the Kaneach Albino. Now the Panim Yafis also adds, Rashi says over here, Zois Chukas HaTayra, because the Umas HaOilam, they chepa us with this. What's the reason for Paraduma? What's the reason? You know, they ask us for the reason. So we tell them, Gzeirim Bofanei Ve'enal HaRachare. It's a Gzeir from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not allowed to think about it. So that the Panim Yafis, what's up with the Umas HaOilam chepa us about this more than anything? The Teretz is because they know it's a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, and they want us to say it because with that they'll be ma'irah the Chet. They want us to talk about the Averis out in the open, and that will be ma'irah the Kitrug that comes about because of the Chet HaEgel. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Avarachim on a father, no father wants to hear the sins of his children. So Adarab HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hide it. So Zoyis Chukas HaTayrim. Zerihim Lufanai, Vein Lahar Acharel. That's what we should answer the Umas HaOilam. But the reason why they want to do it, B'davkan on this mitzvah, they want to be Ma'ir the Chet HaEgel. Medrash Tanchuma brings down, Shlomo HaMelech said, Omarti Echkema, I thought I'd be wise, and I will learn what the real reason of Parah Aduma is, v'hi rechoyka mimeni, but I see it's beyond me. Shlomo HaMelech said, I was aimed on every single mitzvah in the Torah, and I came up with the reasons for every mitzvah in the Torah, but the parasha of Parah Aduma I went deep into, and I asked, and I was choyker, and I was baidik, and I said, it's beyond me. So I saw a pshat that's asked, I saw a question that's asked, HaGoyin of Shimon Moshe Diskin, he was called Torah. Here's the question. If the Torah says Zois Chukas HaTayr, it's a chayk, and it doesn't have a reason, so why does Shlomo HaMelech B'davka go and try and find the reason? The Torah says it's a chayik. So why Shleiman Melech going against what the Torah is saying? So he says a very nice marshal. He says there's two yeshiva bachurim. They're learning a sugya. And one bachur doesn't put any effort into it. And he says, oh, this sugya is beyond me. Forget it. I don't understand it. You know. There's another bachur that realizes it's a shver sugya. He goes into it. He goes into the kasha here. Tries understanding there. He tries understanding this. And he tries understanding as much as he can. Finally, he comes to the conclusion, there are aspects of the sugya that are beyond me. The chiluk between those two people is mimerchik l'mayruf. One, the chal gave up, he has no shaykhis, because he didn't put any effort into it. But mirim gisin is the one that puts effort into it, and he comes to the conclusion, certain things I understand, certain aspects I don't understand that are beyond me. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said over here. When the Torah says, zayis chukas ha-Torah, it doesn't mean, okay, forget it, I'm not going to go into it b'chlal. Nay. I have to be Darish v'chaykarit. I have to see as much as I could understand. Through the drisha v'chakira and going deep into it, I came to the conclusion, yes, there are parts of it that I don't understand. But it has to first come through a drisha v'chakira. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. Amarti echkema. After the echkema, then I came to the conclusion, and that's really what the Torah wants. Try and understand as much as you can. But then, and the Chanami, there are going to be parts there which you're not going to understand. The Yikhwe Lecha, Para Aduma Tamima. What's that? The Yikhwe Lecha? They should take it to Moshe. What does that mean, take it to Moshe? Zok Rashi, La'olam hi nikris al shemecha. It'll always be called on your name, Para Sha'asa Moshe Bamidbar. This is the Para that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar. Why was that so important, that the Para Aduma should be Nikral Shem Moshe? But Moshe Rabbeinu was lacking covet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him the Eved Hashem, like come K'moshe B'Nevuah. He had plenty of accolades. So Moshe Rabbeinu needed this covet B'Davke, that this is the Para Aduma that Moshe Rabbeinu made. What is so special about the Para Aduma that it has to be Miyuchas Al Shem Moshe? So I once saw a pshat. Para Aduma represents our being mevatel ourselves totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being mevatel our minds totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To do things just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we should do it without our understanding it. And that goof of the Beis Halevi says is the biggest kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Because what was the Chet HaEgel? The Chet HaEgel wasn't Stam and Avodah Zarah. They used their own logic to create a new medium of their own to bring the Shekhinah down. If it's something like that, you have to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't use your egg in a seichel. You have to come on to a Moshe Rabbeinu. But to use your own seichel to come up with something like that, that was the biggest chait. And the kapara for that is, Tavi Yaim with the Kanech al Benah, that you're mevati yourselves totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm doing it simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. The quintessential Eved Hashem that was mevati himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him Eved Hashem. An Eved does things, whether he understands it or not, he's totally Meshavu himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shavi Yikhoi Lech over here. The Avod of the Parah Aduma represents what Moshe Rabbeinu represented. Totally being Mavakal yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Yikhoi Lech. We need to ask, what was the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did in his life? So he would say, he didn't have a Mitzrayim, he performed in Nisim, went up to Har Sinai, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. If you look at the Torah, the last pasuk in the Torah, Yonah Chazakeh, the Moshe Rabbeinu did, La'enei Kol Yisrael, he broke the Luchas. That is the apex of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. He broke the Luchas. What is the godless of breaking the Luchas? The Torah says, by breaking the Luchas, Moshe Rabbeinu showed he's totally giving up all of his ritzainas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted nothing more than to lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, to give them the Torah, and to bring them as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible. He saw that he can't do it. He saw it was a chet ha'egel. And he broke the luchas. He felt that this is what Klal Yisrael needs. He didn't know there was going to be a luchas shnias. He didn't know that he's going to carry on his career as the leader. Maybe this is the end. The luchas were the bris between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He did it because he felt it was necessary. But he didn't realize that at the end, things are going to turn out well. He did it. This was the Tzairach HaShoah. That means he was totally mevatel. He negated his own ritzainus for the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Yashikayach. That is the quintessential Eved Hashem. And that's what the Parah Aduma represents. Being mevatel your das HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being mevatel your tzayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's v'yikhu eilecha. V'yeshev ha'am b'kadesh, and the nation sat in Kadesh. V'atomas shom Miriam, and Miriam was nifter there, v'atikavar shom. So the Meshech Chachma asks a question. Meshech Chachma asks, why was Miriam buried right there? The bodies of the Shvatim, Yosef, the bodies of the Shvatim, they brought up with them all the way from Mitzrayim, they carried it to Eretz Yisrael. So why wasn't Miriam Zayche that they should carry her meat or her Aron, they should bury it in Eretz Yisrael? Why were they Zayche and why was she not Zayche? Why did she have to be buried over here? So the Meshech Chachma says a very original pshat. Meshech Chachma says the Kodesh, which is this place over here where Miriam was nifter, that was at the edge of the boundary of Edom, like the Torah says later on. It was at the boundary of the land of Edom. Lo Asher Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give over to Klal Yisrael the land of the Keni, the Knezi, and the Kadmoni. Who are the Keni, the Knezi, and the Kadmoni? That's Edom, Amon, and Moav. So that means that this land of Kadesh, which was by the land of Edom, eventually this was going to become Eretz Yisrael. Memela, there was no need to take Miriam and bring her to Eretz Yisrael. She's being buried now on what eventually is going to be Eretz Yisrael. The Shvatim that went after in Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim's never going to become Eretz Yisrael. So then they had to bring to Eretz Yisrael. But Miriam was nifter over here, and this is going to be Eretz Yisrael. So there was no need to delay her Kvura until they bring her back to Eretz Yisrael. This week we have the tragic story of the Mei Meriva and how Moshe and Aaron, they hit the rock instead of speaking to it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Yan lehemantem bilahakdisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael, because you did not have a munah in me to sanctify my name in the eyes of the B'nai Yisrael, the male, you're not going to come to Eretz Yisrael. The Mefarshim, Amish, try and find what was the chet over here exactly. What kind of a chet? What did they do wrong? So one of the pshatim that the Ramban brings down is b'shem the Rambam. He says about the chet of the Mei Meriva, that Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was makbid against the B'nai Yisrael, and he got angry when it wasn't justified. He should have felt the pain of the B'nai Yisrael. We have nothing to drink. We're thirsty. They were in a panic. Until now, they had the Be'erish of Miriam. And now Miriam was Niftara. Now they didn't have water. So Moshe Rabbeinu should not have gotten angry. He said, Shimun HaMayrim, listen, rebellious ones. According to one medrash, listen, Shaitim. He spoke with anger to the B'nai Yisrael. And the Mela, this was a Tainan. This was the Chait of the Mei Meriva. And the Rambam goes on and he says, Hey Yois, he was the manig ha'am. And everybody looks at the manig and he is madrich them. And he is the example for them. So they learn from him that even when anger is not justified, you can lose your temper. This is what they learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was the tain on him. And for this, he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Because there's no shear of achrayas that a manig Yisrael has that people should not learn the wrong thing from him, and here they learned the wrong thing from him. It's okay to get angry even when it's not justified. The Chofetz Chaim was once in Grodno. He was staying over at the home of Hagoyin Reb Chaim Leib of Eish Yeshiva. So Reb Chaim Leib noticed that the Chofetz Chaim was up as he was down, as he was feeling down about something. He said his face did not exude simcha. So yes, the Chofetz Chaim ready, he says. The Rebbe is the biggest mezakeh Klal Yisrael, with his svarim, with the Mishnah Brura, with the Chofetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLoshen, with many other svarim. He built the yeshiva, he's Eisek Mitzarchei Tzi, where everybody listens to the word of the Rebbe. So why is the Rebbe looking down? His face should mamash be exuding simcha. Should mamash, you know, he has so many zechusim. He should mamash be showing simcha. The Chofetz Chaim says, Em Shalacha Marshal. You have two people. They both are in business. One of them has a massive business with warehouses, and he does millions of dollars worth of business. And on the other hand, you have the small storekeeper. You know, he makes a panosa. He has a little grocery store. He makes a panosa. So on the one hand, the guy that's the big warehouse with the big business, he makes a lot of money. But who would you say has more menucha? There's no question that the guy with the small grocery has more menucha. He does his job, finished, it's a simple job, and that's it. And he makes his little panasa. This fellow has so much on his head, how many people he has to please, how many customers he has, and what happens if something goes wrong? The guy can't sleep at night. He says, he had no senes, because I have so many people in Klal Yisrael that are totally in me. That's more of a worry. What happens if they learn a Mishnah Brura and they come to the wrong conclusion? What happens if they misquote me or they misunderstand what I said? It'll come out that I carry the responsibility for what they did wrong. So that's a problem. That's something that's something I worry about. You know, Adarabba, the bigger your achrayis to Klal Yisrael, the more you have to worry about. And that was this nekuda over here with Moshe, according to the Rambam. The Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. But the Rambam says that this was the inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu being punished. Because people learned from him, and they learned from him that even when anger is not justified, they can do it. I got to tell you something interesting. There was once a shayla, I forgot already the exact intricacies of the shayla. Benegeya drinking tea with the bracha, with the sugar, there's a whole shayla. So Rav Elie Lopian was amongst a few talmidei chachamim, and he says that he once heard from the Chofetz Chaim that this and this is the halacha. Fine. Okay. A few years later, the same shayla came up, and here Rav Elie did not say anything about what the Chofetz Chaim had told him. And the Talmud was there, and afterwards he asked him, Rebbe, he says, the Rebbe once said that the Chofetz Chaim told him this and this. So he said, the Chofetz Chaim came to me in a dream, the ponim zoyafos, the angry look, and he says, why are you saying in things in my name that I never said? So he says, you know, I'm rebellion, you're talking about rebellion, Lopian over here. See, the Chofetz Chaim in the Olam HaEmes was worried that he was being misquoted. Why are you saying things that I never said? So this is an achrayis, and the emes is, it's not only an achrayis on the Godel Ador, it's an achrayis on Rabbeim, and it's an achrayis on parents. You know, people look up to us, and they take examples from us, and what we do, we are responsible for being mechanech them. Vayishma haknani melech arod, yoshev hanegev, Kibo Yisrael Derech HaAsorim. The Knani, the king of Arad, who sits on the south of Eretz Yisrael, he heard that Yisrael was coming by way of the Meraglim. Vayilochem b'Yisrael, vayesh mimenu shevi. And he took someone captive, he took a shivcha captive. So Rashi over here brings down the Chazal, Vayishma haKnani melech Arad yoshev hanegev. Knani sits in the Negev. We know that Amalek is Yoshev HaNegev. In the parsha of the Meraglim, it says, yeah, Amalek sits in the south. So what does it mean by Yishma HaKnani, Yoshev HaNegev? So Rashi, that the emes says this was Amalek. But Amalek, they wanted to make trouble for Klal Yisrael. They knew that if they go fight against Klal Yisrael, then the Yidden are going to daven to Hashem, save us from the hands of the Amaleki. So they got dressed up like Knanim, and this way, Klal Yisrael is going to daven, save us from the hands of the Knanim, and therefore their tefillahs are not going to be answered. Those up. Rashi, this is a Chazal. So the Mefarshim asked the question, what's Pshat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to know what their Kavana is. You know, what did Amalek think they were gaining? Klal Yisrael is going to daven, you know, and Hashem knows what the Machshavas are. The simple answer to that question is, Hashem knowing what our Machshavas are is not good enough. Because that's what tefillah is all about. You can't daven with machshava, right? The halacha is that you can't just think what you want. We learn out of a pasuk, v'chanehi medaberes aliba. She was speaking, right? Raksraseh nois. Her lips were moving. The Gemara says that a person has to be mighty tefillah b'peh. Why? I HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's in our hearts, what's in our minds. This is the metzias of tefillah. We have to articulate it. We have to bring it out into the world. And then when we dive in, that shavs and tzias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to us. Thinking it is not good enough. So they knew that if they say it the wrong way, that could have, you know, its repercussions. It got me the weakness of their tefillah. The famous ma'isa that the Qasam Sofer sent a letter to Kiva Eger. And type the letter, he says, could the Shver please be Medaben? Can he be Mispawel for this and this chayla? And he wrote down the name. A few weeks later, Kivega sends back a letter. And in it, he writes, I'm being misfollowed for this chayla, but I'm not being answered. So l'chayla, there must be a mistake in the name. Some say he forgot the letter, and he taka checked up what he wrote, and kachav, it was a mistake in the name. I mean, that in itself is a chiddush. Number one, the Rekiva Egel was so confident. First of all, he could tell he wasn't being answered. His mom is like the Gemara says about Rechanina ben Daisa, that if tefillah was shogar b'piv, he knew that he was answered. But he was so confident in his tefillah that if he wasn't being answered, it must be there's a mistake in the name. So you see from that maisa also, that you have to articulate it exactly the way it is. And Amalek was aware of that. I saw a little bit of a deeper pshat. The Sefer Darish Mordechai says the pshat, Amalek was very well aware that the weaponry of Klal Yisrael is tefillah. Is with my tefillah. My cherub and my keshes, what is the sword and the bow and arrow of Yaakov Avinu? Tagmunkulis taiches, bitzolusi ubevousi. With my tefillahs, with my supplications. So do what the Kutzker says. It's like a bow and arrow. The deeper you pull inwards, the further the arrow goes. It's like that with tefillah. The deeper the tefillah is, the more it goes up and the more it brings results. Amalek was aware of this. Amalek knew that the deeper Klal Yisrael's tefillah is, the better the results will be. They knew that Klal Yisrael was afraid of them. They already had a bad experience with Amalek. And they scared Klal Yisrael. So if they were to come as the regular Amalekim, they knew Klal Yisrael's afraid, the tefillahs would be with a much greater intensity, and then the effects will be much greater. So they made themselves look like the Kanani. They weren't yet exposed to the Kanani. They weren't really so afraid of the Kanani yet. And the male of the tefillahs won't be so deep. Hashalof, he said, that will compromise their tefillah. So that this Sefer Darish Mordechai goes weiter. Let's be mizbeinim what's happening over here. Amalek knows that Klal Yisrael has the strength, the power of tefillah. They know that tefillah has to be articulated exactly. They know that the deeper the tefillah, the better the results. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. So if you know all of this, how do you dare attack Klal Yisrael? What are you, crazy? It's like it's an oxymoron. It's a steer in Eubé. You know all these things, and Yafal Pika, and you're attacking Klal Yisrael? So he answers, you can know everything in the world, but if you yourself are not willing to change, you're not willing to go through a metamorphosis yourself, Yediyah alone means nothing. There's Vyodata Hayoim Vahashevoise Elovavecha. And the merchak between the Vyodata Hayoim Vahashevoise Elovavecha and to do something about it is greater than between the one that knows and the one that doesn't know. So he's on the spark. They know all about this. Yafa Pikin, we're going to fight against them. We're going to get back at them. We're going to. The idea had no effect on them. It was a Maisa, Pelvic Maisa, that happened in Radin. A group of yeshiva bachrim, without asking the Chofetz Chaim, they went and they set on fire leaflets that the Bundisten wanted to give out to bring more people into their group. You know, they weren't from, and it was a terrible hashvah. So they went and they burnt these things and they didn't cover their tracks, and it was pretty obvious that the yeshiva bachrim did it. Ooh, mamish. Mass pandemonium. They came and they demonstrated by the Chofetz Chaim's house and screaming. And one guy had the chutzpah to even give the Chofetz Chaim a push. This guy lost his mind shortly afterwards and he jumped into the river. He killed himself. So the Bundisten, they printed in their newspaper a full page ad. We're so shocked. We're bewildered. The Chofetz Chaim, the holy Chofetz Chaim, that speaks about Miyosha Chofetz Chaim, the Torah L'Shoim Chameira, he should give a klala to someone and he should utter out of his mouth to curse a fellow Jew. How could it be? And when Mama said, they were incredulous about this. Chofetz Chaim, he was a Mepharsim, I'm not sure if it was in the same newspaper or in a different one, also Mepharsim, it appears in Gadol. Chas v'Shalom, I never give a klala to a Yid. This did not happen because of a klola. If it is associated with this maisa, it happened because they were pagaya and the covet of Bnei Torah. Memela, that's the thing which is goyra. So Adam Gadol said about this maisa, think for a second. These people that put out this thing against the Chofetz Chaim, That means they believe that the Chofetz Chaim's call means something. They believe he's in Ish Kodesh. They believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to him. The Yamal Pekin are going to fight against him. What's the shot? You gotta be nuts. The Terence is, you can know something, be a dear, but if you don't transfer it to yourself and you're not willing to change because of it, then all the idea in the world means nothing. That's a lesson that could be learned from this mice over here. It says, Vayisu mehor hahor, derech yamsuf, lizbay v'seretz edayim, v'tikzer nefesh ha'am badorech. They wanted to go through the land of Edom, and Edom did not let them. They wanted a shortcut. Edom would not let them. So they got tired out, and they got very impatient with being there, and they started complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, we don't have food to eat. We can't take this food, you know. We have no food to eat. Shelter of the Kasha, what was their problem? They had the money. They had the money. And if you're going to tell me they complained about the money, but they were in the Midbar for 40 years. They're holding Otat. In a few days, they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So now they're complaining against the Mon where they're about to go in. Like, what was the pshat over here? Why'd they all of a sudden start complaining about that? So I saw a pshat in the Sefer. I saw it this week, and for the life of me, I couldn't find the Sefer again where I saw it. I thought I saw it in the Chassam Sefer, but apparently not. It's from one of the earlier Mefarshim. And it's a little bit based on Rabbeinu Bechai. He says the following. They already had previously problems with the mon. The yidden complained about it, l'chitchila. But all those people that complained about the mon were no longer around. They were the Meisei Midbar, Rashi says. The Meisei Midbar had all been nifter already. The people that were negei over here were the people that were born in the Midbar. They never knew anything else besides the mon. So they never complained until now. Right? But now they were coming near the Umas Olam. And they got a view, hey, what's that they're eating over there? They're eating regular physical food. And they chapped the taiva for that. So now is when they started complaining. They never saw this before. They were in the Midbar. They were born in the Midbar. They never saw anything else besides this. Right? And now all of a sudden they see, oh, look, they're enjoying it and they're eating it or whatever. So now they started complaining. So the Midah Keneged Midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent snakes against them. I'll tell you something else you weren't aware of. And as they said, we were never aware that such a thing existed. I'll tell you something else you weren't aware of. You weren't aware of snakes. You didn't realize that all these years in the Midbar, what do you think? There was no snakes in the Midbar. There was no scorpions in the Midbar. The Terence says, I isolated you and I kept you safe from that. And the same way I isolated you and I kept you safe, but again, snakes, I gave you the month for that very same reason. I wanted to isolate you from the world and you should be a special nation. That was the Midah Keneged Midah of the snakes. You don't realize that I kept you here with something special? Okay, you want to be like everybody else. This is what's really around in the Midbar. Take a look at what's around when I'm not taking care of you. Rabbeinu Bechaya brings down a little bit of a different shot with the snakes. They were complaining against the mon that had every taste in the world. He brought upon them the snakes. The snakes don't have any time in food. You know, they could taste 70 different things and they don't taste anything different. That was the Midah Keneged Midah against the Bnei Yisrael. Now, the Chofetz Chaim says a very interesting word of Chizuk B'negeah to this. When did the Yidden start complaining? They were holding Ot Mamish. They were in the Midbar for 40 years. They're holding Ot. They started complaining. So the Chofetz Chaim, the Torah is telling us over here, there's going to come a time when Klal Yisrael will be holding Ot Nikvas of the Mashiach. Otot, we've gone through so much already and we're so close. People can say, we're in Golos for so long, you know, forget about it. And that's really what happened. That's when you had the Zionists and people went over to communism and people went over to all of the isms. The Golos is so long, it's never going to end, forget about it. The Torah is telling us over here, don't give up in the last minute. There's not going to be Nikvas of the Mashiach, there's not going to be Sverakaitan. You're going to be worn out by the Golos, but don't give up. Because the Yeshua is Kreva Love. Those are the great Chizuk from this Maisa. A good Shabbos, everybody. Next week, you may have session. Yeah. That's for the song again.
Meta Mormons.
Yes.
Mate Umarabe.
Mate was mate.
Dies mes umarapa. Metamorphosis. The phoenix dies in his rebirth.
Okay, I could hear that. I could hear that.
Could have buried the
Shvatim
there also.
Yeah, but I think once they took him out of their makam already, if you notice, the Torah uses a lotion about Thomas Shon, by the conversion. But the Kula, it's not a look at Kula to them. No, once they were already
made. Maybe she was able to do Purim as mana.
Right.
There. What? Is there anyway?
Right.